The reading's taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, which is on page 1176. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Thank God for his word.
Well, this morning we're going to be continue with our series on the book of Ephesians. And it's going to go on until actually the early next year. This is quite a big book to get through. We're going to spend a little bit of a time on the armor of God and spiritual warfare later in the future. This morning we're thinking about marriage and I guess some of the warfare that can take place within human relationships as well. We've been learning in this series about what is the purpose for us as believers, as a church, and that is to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we've learned in recent weeks, for us to resemble the Lord Jesus, we need to be filled, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when we're empowered and filled with the Spirit, it will change our way of speaking to one another, our speaking to God. We will build up one another in our faith, we will worship God, but also the way that we relate to one another as believers. We will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And as we discovered last week, as Dominic said this morning, it's so countercultural, this word submission and the biblical definition of it, this voluntary yielding of ourselves to one another in love and service. Countercultural in the world that we're living in, but this is supposed to be the normal way that we relate to one another. And it's modeled beautifully to us in the shared life of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The way that they spotlight one another and serve and yield and promote the other. That's the perfect model to us. But most shockingly, we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus and what he left, the glory of heaven to come down, and what he was to this earth and what he was willing to endure. He humbled himself. He made himself nothing. And he took the nature of a servant, and he served us. He served us through giving his life on a cross for us. And out of reverence to Christ and love to him, he asks us to, calls us to share the same attitude to others. And in this letter, we're at this section where Paul is going to go in and focus in on three relationships that we're going to be reflecting over the next few weeks. And it's all the theme of how we can, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be submissive, following Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit in these relationships. So this morning we're going to be thinking about the marriage relationship of a husband and a wife. But by way of introduction, it's important to see that these instructions for wives, husbands, as well as for parents, children, servants, masters, these are directed to Spirit-filled believers, rather than to those who are outside of Christ. It should be no surprise that Paul's words are foolishness to those who don't follow the path of Christian discipleship. And these instructions, they set forth the Creator's divine ideal and his abiding will for all married men and women. So we'll just think very briefly about what is the purpose of marriage. Now, there are many reasons given in the Bible. Companionship, it's not good for a man to be alone, or a woman as well. Enjoyment, completeness, fruitfulness, protection, sanctification, support and trust, mutual honor and respect. These are all mentioned in Scripture. In the passage we read today, the marriage of believers is to be a beautiful picture, a beautiful reflection of the relationship between Christ and his church. A relationship revealed as a marriage. Christ is the bridegroom, the church his bride. At present, Christ and the church are engaged. And when Christ returns, the official wedding ceremony will take place. And the verses we read reveal how Christ, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride, are to relate to one another. Christ to the church is love and sacrifice and care. The church to Christ is submission and respect. And these ways of relating are to be modeled in the relationship of Christian husbands and wives. So with that as a background, let's look at the passage together. Verse 22, wives are called to submit, to voluntarily yield in love to their husbands. Now note, primarily it's not for their husband's sake or out of love for him, but it's for the Lord's sake. He asked them to, out of love and reverence to him. And then in verse 23, wives are to voluntarily yield in love to their husbands because he is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Well, we know that Christ is the head of the church. God gave him that position and authority. Ephesians chapter 1, God has placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is Christ's body. He is the head. He is the Lord of his church. The same Greek word, kephale, for head, with reference to Christ, is used for husbands. Kephale means the head of a body, or the top stone in a building, someone or something in the primary place. Obviously, Christ is head in a far greater way than husbands, and is head by also by virtue of his uniquely being the saviour of his church. However, albeit in a significantly lesser way, husbands have been given by God a position of authority and leadership in marriage, not because they've earned it, not because they've merited it, but it's in accordance with God's design in creation. And we see evidence of man's headship in the early chapters of Genesis. First of all, we see God creating Adam first. Secondly, God making Eve out of Adam for the purpose of being his suitable, his perfectly compatible helper. And then God giving Adam the instruction, the command not to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then God holding Adam more responsible for the fall. He does so even though it was Eve who was first deceived and took the forbidden fruit. And we see that when God comes to where the pair were hiding in shame among the trees of the garden, he calls out Adam first, speaks to him about his actions before talking to Eve about what she had done. God held Adam more responsible because he was her appointed head and leader. And because he had been given the commandment, and because he had chosen to listen to his wife rather than obey God's command. So we see from creation account in Genesis that Adam's headship and leadership over Eve was God's design for the marriage relationship. The fall of Adam and Eve corrupted and damaged God's design for the marriage relationship. In the response to the temptation, we see a failure on both Adam and Eve's part. Eve should have consulted her husband and sought his approval before such an important decision to break God's command. And Adam, who was present when Satan tempted Eve and maligned God's character, well, he failed to protect Eve and defend God's character. Instead, he weakly sided with her sinful decisions and actions, even though he knew it to be wrong. No wonder they both hid in shame and guilt from God. And the judgment which followed related to their sinful actions. Eve's undermining of Adam's authority would result in Eve possessing a desire contrary to her husband, a desire to control her husband. And Adam's failure to exercise his authority would result in an excessive, overbearing attitude, exercise of authority. So the battle of the sexes had begun. Both man and woman would now seek the upper hand in marriage. I always remember my father giving this illustration. He married, I think, over 70 couples. And he would say to the, if you're remembering the process of coming into the church, so remember the aisle and the altar and then him, you know. And it was, I'll alter him. That's not what marriage is about for the wife, right? I'll alter him. My father often said about man's the head of the marriage, but the woman's the neck. You know that the neck swivels the head. So this kind of jockeying for position. The man who was to lovingly care for and nurture his wife would now seek to rule her, and the wife would desire to wrestle control from her husband. No wonder so many marriages end in divorce. Statistically, 41% of all first-time marriages end in divorce. No wonder so many couples are reluctant to tie the knot. Is there a solution? The gospel of Jesus Christ, redeeming us from the bondage to and slavery to sin, giving us a new nature in the likeness of Jesus Christ, giving us power through the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, to live according to that new nature. The marriage of believers can and should be radically different. As the church, Christ's body and bride, submits and lovingly yields and gives her entire being, her gifts, her abilities to Christ, her head, her bridegroom, as his helper and supporter and companion. Likewise, for Christ's sake, wives are to submit and lovingly yield and give themselves, their entire being, their gifts, their abilities to their husbands as his helper and supporter and companion. A wife's submission to her husband does not mean inferiority. Christ is equal in status to the Father, but willingly submits himself to his Father's will. Wives submitting in everything to their husbands should not be taken absolutely. Since a wife should not submit to her husband in matters that are sinful or harmful or contrary to God's commands. A wife's submission doesn't mean that she should be a silent yes person or doormat. Nor does it mean that she should have no opinions of her own. A wife's opinions may often be different from those of her husband, but she can express her opinions and ideas respectfully without belittling and without disrespectful confrontation. She is ordained by God to be her husband's helper, not his doormat. And by expressing her opinions and giving advice and offering suggestions, she will be an invaluable partner to her husband. And in choosing to support her husband, she is empowering him to have the self-respect that he needs. And he will develop into the kind of man who accepts his role and responsibilities in the home. He will seek to carry out his God-ordained position of protecting and providing and leading his family. What an important role God has designed wives to have in marriage. And then verses 25 to 33, but briefly, the responsibility of husbands towards their wives, I want you to note this, takes up twice the amount of space as was given to their wives, which means that they have a greater responsibility towards their wives. As Christ loved the church, his body and bride, and gave himself up for her, his life on a cross, to make her holy and glorious. Husbands are to love their wives with their entire beings, body, soul, and spirit, and be willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice for the purpose of making their wives glorious and their marriage glorious. Wow, what a job description. What a challenge to make their wives glorious. I'm not just talking about the outward, but the beauty that comes from within, mostly. And to make their marriage glorious. What a huge responsibility husbands have towards their wives. And I think if wives had husbands like that, who were so focused and for them and loving them, and they would happily submit to them. More than that, as Christ loves and cares for his body and bride, the church, no greater love and care. Husbands, in the same way, are to love and care for their wives as much, no less than the way that they love and care for their own bodies. What a responsibility husbands have towards their wives. They are commanded to love and care for them as much as Christ loves and cares for his church. So you see that these passages, it's not a kind of it's all about just, it's a wife beating exercise we're talking about here this morning. But this is about, you see, the challenge, the responsibility that husbands and wives have. And if anything, the balance of Scripture here is that husbands have more responsibility, will be held more accountable, really. So for these purposes, marriage was ordained by God for the purpose of a wife lovingly giving herself, her entire being, to her husband. Her head as his helper and supporter and companion. And for the purpose of a husband loving his wife with his entire being, sacrificially, to make his wife glorious, and to make the marriage glorious. And for the purpose of a husband loving and caring for his wife as much as he loves and cares for his own body. And as Christian wives and husbands do that, we reflect in our relationship something of the beautiful covenant relationship between God and his people. Have we ever thought about that? We're meant to be an illustration through our marriage of the beautiful covenant relationship between God and his people. How amazing that we can do that in our relationship. We can reveal something, a glorious picture of that. What a witness believers can be in their marriage. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't do this in their own strength. Our love or our humility are bottoms out. We need the inexhaustible resources of Christ to give us the love, the grace, to forgive, to forget, to yield, to care, to love, to protect, to be all that God would want us to be. So that's the challenge that God has given to us this morning. So there's a lot to live up to, but God's grace is sufficient, and each day is a new beginning, and we thank the Lord for his love and his grace to us.